It may not have to wear an orange jumpsuit or pick up trash by the side of the road, but Volkswagen may do a kind of community service for its behavior. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. There are reports that Volkswagen is in negotiations to pay for two funds, one for America in general, one for California specifically. This after the company admitted it rigged its diesel engines to cheat emissions tests. Bloomberg News says VW might pay for clean transportation projects nationwide. It might help California drivers buy electric cars. John Coffey, a professor at the Columbia University Law School, says this, if confirmed, would only be two pieces of something larger.
This is a very complicated process of who the players are. The private plaintiffs, they haven't yet reached a settlement, and I expect there's going to be multiple billions that they want to pay to all of the car owners, probably by buying back their cars at some negotiated value.
But there seems to be this tradition of, you know, you could make a company just pay a big fine into the black hole of the U.S. Treasury, or there could be part of it that actually goes toward trying to fix what you broke.
If you look at the example of the British Petroleum oil spill, there was initially a fund, and it was replaced by a class action and a claims resolution process by which you showed that you had suffered either economic injury or health injuries. Here, it'll be very easy to prove you own the right model Volkswagen, but the environmental injuries are going to be a little bit more variable. The benefits are going to go to a state-administered process rather than to some minimal amount to every U.S. citizen who breathed polluted air. That latter is not feasible.
VW stock was up a bit in Germany this morning, but it's down 32% since the diesel scandal broke in the fall. The dollar is down sharply today after the chair of the Federal Reserve, Janet Yellen, said she might only raise interest rates twice this year instead of perhaps four times. The euro is up to $1.13. Let's check in with Diane Swonk, the president of DS Economics in Chicago, who listened to what the Fed is saying about our paychecks.
What's really important was in her comment, Chair Yellen spent the time to say wages haven't accelerated enough yet to really feel comfortable that inflation will be persistent. And she really is someone who's committed to, if it takes it, overshooting a bit on the downside on unemployment to reengage those workers who are still un- and underemployed and try to make an attempt to raise living standards again.
So American wages, as well as growth outside the U.S., is also being watched closely by Fed policymakers.
The global economy matters. It's something that in the past you sort of saw the Fed often turn a deaf ear to. You saw the Fed really saying, listen, we're doing policy for the U.S., only for the U.S., the global economy, it matters, but only how it affects us. Well, the reality is it does affect us. What happens abroad does not stay abroad. It's not Las Vegas. It comes back to haunt us, and the Fed is acknowledging that. And I think acknowledging that, it's much of the what the financial markets saw at the beginning of the year and the bloodletting we saw then. This is an important shift for the Federal Reserve today.
Diane Swonk at DS Economics. Caution, there are bagpipes in the following piece from Blake Farmer, pegged to St. Patrick's Day today, about festivals that seem like Please Visit Ireland ads.
The appropriately rainy weather drove drummers and dancers to perform under tents at the inaugural Music City Irish Festival last year. The budding street fair's attendance of 10,000 pales in comparison to massive parades in Boston, New York, and Chicago. But founder Brenda Willis says there's still a strong contingent of people with Irish ancestry in Tennessee, 14% by Ireland's count.
I grew up in Chicago, and I didn't know anything about my Irish heritage. So we're just trying to help Nashville reconnect with that.
Ireland is fertilizing this upstart celebration with cash. The country's tourism and cultural agencies are footing a third of the bill. I asked Anne Anderson why. She's Ireland's ambassador to the U.S.
Culture matters. It's our calling card to the world.
Anderson says Ireland has a new focus on making connections in the growing American South. There are now consulates in Atlanta and Austin. Sponsoring cultural events is another way to keep Ireland top of mind.
The correlation is not absolutely direct, and we don't expect it. It's not an absolutely calculating investment in that way. But it's to make them familiar with Ireland, feel good about Ireland, feel inspired about Ireland, and to lodge a thought that maybe, why not Ireland?
for a vacation, studying abroad, or for businesses, maybe opening a European office. But in talking to organizer Brenda Willis, it sounds like the money does come with strings attached.
They always tell me, the whole reason we do this is bums in seats. We want bums in seats on airplanes going to Ireland. And if that's not what we're getting out of this, we're going to pull our funding.
The Irish do take their tourism pretty seriously, and it's working. In recent years, more people have visited Ireland than live on the island. So when enjoying the kilts and bagpipes this St. Patrick's Day, Ireland would like you to know the real thing is even better. In Nashville, I'm Blake Farmer for Marketplace.
And the founder and CEO of FedEx sounded a little fed up at his quarterly profits briefing yesterday. His profits were impressively strong, but Fred Smith has had it with articles suggesting the likes of Amazon will disrupt the shipping business with some kind of new tech, with maybe drones, driverless delivery vans, maybe lightsabers.
The concerns about industry disruption continue to be fueled by fantastical, and let me emphasize, I chose this word carefully, articles and reports which are devoid of in-depth knowledge of logistics systems and the markets which FedEx serves.
FedEx, by the way, puts out an audio podcast of its earnings call. If you want to groove to the sound of that, it's out there. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.